Morning. See if this works. God is able. I just wanted to share for a few minutes. Last Sunday, I was in Texas. I think you guys know that. And there was a men's breakfast in the morning on the Sunday. And there was just a little something that was shared that really, something I had been thinking on even before that. And so I was going to just share for a few minutes about that. So at the breakfast, the speaker had basically asked the question, what does faithfulness look like to you? So I was thinking through that, and you guys could think that through as well. What is faithfulness? What does it look like? So I had asked my kids this question when I got back from Texas, and I got lots of good answers. One of them said faithfulness is obedience. Faithfulness is being loyal, doing the right things, praying to God, all those things. And I think that's all true. But one thing that was shared was that, what does faithfulness look like? And what the speaker shared was something really interesting. And it said, he said, faithfulness is complete confidence in God and zero confidence in yourself. And he said, that's kind of what it would look like in your life. So, I was thinking about that. And I was thinking that, getting to a place in your own life and in my own life where I can have zero confidence in self, but full confidence in God is actually a wonderful thing. And if you think about it, even here in our culture, self-reliance, self-confidence, it's very, it's throughout our culture, right? You hear the term practice makes perfect, right? The more you do something, the better you get. And what happens? The better you get at something, well, generally, the more confident you're going to get in it. So, and I looked up the word, what does confidence mean? And I Googled the word, and it means, a trust or certainty in your own abilities. And, we can even get confidence from a young age that can really grow as we get older. And I should ask the kids, is there any five-year-olds here right now? I don't know if Maggie's five, but no, she's four. When I was 5 years old, kids, I'll tell you a little story. I had a red bicycle, and I could pedal it really fast. And I still remember this. When I was 5 years old, I actually thought I could pedal faster than anyone in the world. And of course, that wasn't true. But what happens is, as we get older, we can get more confidence. So what I wanted to talk about briefly was, what does God's word tell us about that? So I'm just going to look up a few verses. Psalm 16. We can start in Psalm 16. I gotta wear my glasses here now. Psalm 16, verse 1. And it says here, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you." So I want to get to that place where I can say, I have no good beside you, Lord. Not even a little. When I look at my own life and my own abilities, it's only God. Where I have good only in God, nothing else. I'm just going to go through a few verses, so apologize. I'll try not to go too quickly. The other one is Psalm, just go ahead to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and he's saying here what, fathers should teach their children. So if we start off Psalm 78, verse 5, what's one thing fathers should teach their children? It says, verse 5, "He commanded our fathers that they should teach their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, they might arise and tell to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So the part here was, put their confidence in God. And maybe we can add to that to say our full confidence in God. Meaning we don't reserve a little bit of confidence for ourselves, but it's fully in God. And it says here, fathers should teach their children. We should put our whole confidence in God. Just going to go ahead now to a couple of verses in the New Testament. If you go ahead to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 18, Paul had said, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. You know, when I read that verse, I know nothing good dwells in me. Sometimes, you know, we might think, you know, we got some good, we can do this, you know, I've got all these natural abilities, I'm pretty good at, you know, whatever it is, you know, accounting, or, you know, athletes might say, I'm really good at running, all this stuff, but, you know, to have a place where we can say, like Paul, I know that nothing good dwells in me, I think that's a good starting place. And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, and Paul says, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. And I think we could, you know, add no confidence in the self-life either, but full confidence in God. And then Paul, you know, had said, you know, if anyone might have confidence in the flesh, I have far more reason. And then Paul, of course, lists all the reasons he could have to have confidence in his flesh. You know, he was raised a Pharisee. He had all this learning and all this stuff. And, you know, he says, I have far more reason to put confidence in the flesh. But Paul basically says in verse 8, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then it even says, and you don't have to flip there, but, you know, sometimes what God will do is he'll bring trials to our life. And actually, I should read that verse. It was 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, he says, we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourself. Why? So we would not trust in ourself, but in God. So sometimes God needs to bring us through trials and experiences to realize that, you know, we have to trust in him completely and we can't do it on our own. It's like sometimes when we're younger, you know, we have all these, you know, natural abilities and we, you know, we can do this stuff. We feel, but the Lord wants to take us to a place where we have complete confidence in him and zero confidence in ourselves. In fact, the speaker on the last Sunday in the morning, he had said when he had two kids, you know, people might ask him, you know, how do you manage? And, you know, he might give them I do this, and this, these things, and, you know, this is how I can do it. And he said, now he has six kids, and, you know, they ask him, how do you manage? And he says, you know, I just completely trust in God. I can't do it, but I know God can do it. And I think, you know, I was really encouraged to hear that. But if we stay in this place, I can't do it. I got no hope in myself. If we stay there, there has to be a but. And there is a wonderful but. I can't do it, but the Lord's grace is able to be abundant in my life. And that's what we have to remember. The Lord is able. And I love those three words. God is able. And we can remember that in any area of our life. So look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here we go. In verse 14. Paul says, the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love that are found in Christ Jesus. So if we're at a place when we know we can't do it ourselves, whatever that is, Lord, I can't, you know, I don't have the wisdom to do what I need to at work. Lord, I don't have the wisdom to manage my household with my kids. Can't even overcome in my mind. But you're able and your grace is abundant. That's the place, I think, where the victory can come. In fact, 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there again, but 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. So having all sufficiency in everything, you can have an abundance for every good deed. Anything we lack, God is able. So what I was just to kind of get to the conclusion here, what does this look like practically in my life? You know, I want to have full confidence in God. I want to have no confidence in self. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about is, you know, when I get up in the morning, I can acknowledge to God, Lord, I can't do it today on my own. I'm useless, can't overcome, can't control my thoughts, but you are able. And I think if we have that walk, if we go to the Lord and tell him that about anything in our life, you know, it could be spiritual things, you know, our thought life, temptations, sins. It could be practical things in our life, like, you know, just I have to go into a meeting at work. You know, I might think to myself, well, I have 25 years of experience in accounting. I got this. No, I should go into my meeting at work saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I need you, Lord. Even in areas we're really naturally good at, we should learn to go to God and say, Lord, I can't do it. You know, some of you guys I know are, you know, runners or different, you know, sports, and you might be good at it because you've done it for a long time. Even in those areas, we should go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. And I think if we can get to that place where we have zero confidence in ourselves, but full confidence in God, what will happen in our life? You know, I was thinking about this. We're going to have rest, joy, and peace. You know, we're going to have rest because we're going to be like, hey, you know what? It doesn't depend on me. It's all up to the Lord. You know, we're going to have peace because we're like, I don't have to figure this out on my own. Lord, you have it. You've got it. And we're going to have joy. Like when I thought about this morning, I woke up and I said, Lord, I can't do it today. You know, I'm even afraid of, I used to be afraid of speaking in front of people. I still am sometimes. But Lord, you can do it. You can live out your perfect life through me. You know, we'll have joy. So I think the summary here is, Lord, you are able. And just to close with a quick example, there was you guys remember Abraham had a servant, and he sent his servant back to where he was from to find a wife for his son Isaac. So his servant traveled a long time. It was probably about a month or so of travel. He gets there to this city of, I think it was Nahor. And then, you know, there's two different options in front of him. What we know what the servant did. You know, he actually came there and he prayed to the Lord. He says, Lord, only you can grant me success. And then he prayed to the Lord, let the next person who comes here be the right lady. And that's what he did, and the Lord blessed him. You know, alternatively, if we were going to rely on our own strength, we could go there and say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to make a list of what the qualifications are for this woman. You know, if Abraham was wealthy, he had lots of money, I'm going to hire all these people who can go through the town, knock, go door to door, present the list, and hopefully by our natural ability, you know, find the solution. But of course, he didn't do that. And in my own life, even if I have the resources or natural ability, I want to learn to rely completely on God and have no confidence in self. You know, I think that's the way of rest, joy, and peace. So just want to encourage you with that this morning.